Well, good morning. Ready to see how our lesson progresses. This ought to be an interesting one, seeing how all the lessons that I kept hearing on the different programs and sermons I was listening to, all we're dealing with, what we're dealing with in this lesson. I think my wife said we heard something about liberty, I don't know how many times. She says, everybody's talking about liberty and stumbling blocks and being unequally yoked. I'm like, So maybe we're meant to do that. And of course, what's the world right now? They're wanting us to be included in everything. So we're going to see here shortly. And maybe that'll be a challenge if we don't make it there. Maybe I can have you think about being unequally yoked and maybe when that's happened to you or something like that, and just, you know, have a bit of testimony with it. Because I know everybody, each one of us, is trying to figure out, okay, can I partake in that? Or can I be part of that? And I've got some history of what's gone on, what's going on, and hopefully it'll be informative and maybe open our eyes to things. Because I know a lot of us innocently partake in things and don't realize that all of a sudden we're caught up in something and it just doesn't feel right. Or maybe you want to partake in it and be polite because maybe they're your friends or something. And it's difficult. So let's open a word of prayer and then we'll get into the lesson. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your loving kindness. We thank you for the music this morning that asks that that we would be made a blessing. And I do pray that, Father, for our daily walk on this earth, the people that we meet, our family members, our co-workers, just those that we encounter. I pray that we would be a blessing, that we would be examples to the world. Not that we are high and mighty, but the fact that we know you as our personal Lord and Savior. And we have that blessing that we want to share with people. Give us the right words to be able to say that as we go through there. And that it would be not, it will probably be an offense to some, but Father, I pray that it would soften the hearts of those that hear it. And that they, if they do not know you, would come to know you as their personal Savior. Or maybe get their life back on track. Or maybe get ours on track as we see that. And we thank you, Father, for these lessons. We thank you that you show us the wisdom that's there, that you know exactly where our feet need to be planted and how they're to go forward. And I do thank you for each one that's here. I do pray for the other class going on and pray that you would just bless Brian and Stephanie during that time. And for Pastor and Lisa as they pick it up in the coming weeks. I just thank you, Father, for the opportunity to be part of this group, to be part, to be able to share what you've laid on my heart through these lessons. And we ask that you be glorified through all of this, and we do ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, when we left off, I think it was last week, we were talking about, let me get a note out here. That one's coming up. Dare to be different is what we have up here. And, you know, Christians are different by design. I think it's 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10 talk about us being peculiar in there. And some of us are definitely peculiar in to the world and to those that we work with. But if we read through here, starting in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 6, it says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are temples of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saying the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, which, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And then chapter 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, it's the Apostle Paul who's trying to reiterate the importance of the fellowship of the church, not to delve into others, you know, the fellowship of the believers, and not to draw in, well, to draw in those unbelievers, but with the idea to get them saved, but not to be part of their world. I mean, we looked in 1 Corinthians and talked about the liberties that some Christians have, and how that oftentimes we could be a stumbling block, and that's important, but not that we're to be such that we can just go out and live the way we want to live. But the whole of what he's pointing out is the church needs to be different and to practice biblical separation. Now that's, and I'm going to leave that topic to you to think about, because we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the future. I don't think we'll get to it today. But think about biblical separation. What does it really mean? What does it mean to you? What does it mean for Christians in general? And because a lot of people have different ideas on separation. Well, you know, they don't dress the way we dress, so I'm not going to be with them. Well, they do all this weird stuff. They pray and they sing out of hymnals. We're not going to be part of those guys. Or, you know, they got drums up in front. We're not going to be part of that. You know, just, you can go through and you can find out all sorts of reasons for separation, but what is biblical separation? What's God trying to, and what's the Apostle Paul trying to point out? You know, he challenged the Corinthian church to fellowship only with those who generally believe in Christ and adhere to spiritual truth. And he's talking about fellowshipping. And that's an important term, because, you know, if we were meant only to fellowship with like believers, when we got saved, we'd all be taken off this earth. But we're left here for a purpose, and so it's really careful how we have to talk about biblical separation and some of the issues that have occurred, you know, maybe some history, but what is occurring today that we as Christians probably ought not to partake in a biblical sense or a scriptural sense with them, you know? Doesn't mean that we maybe couldn't, if we're out visiting some friends or something, and, you know, on vacation, or maybe visit their church. Is it wrong to visit that church? Well, some churches you walk into, you really just don't feel right walking into. But maybe you have an opportunity to talk with them. I know a lot of people have said that, you know, I can be friends with somebody of a different faith, I'm just not going to let them influence my stand with the Lord. So think on that, because I want to get some feedback from you and to see where we stand. And I know where Pastor stands pretty, I think. You aren't going to be here next week, are you? You're going to be in the room in there.
Yes.
Oh, well, maybe we can set some, we'll set some doctrine and he's not going to, no, actually. No, but if there's, honestly, if there's questions that you really have about, should I, well, as verse 14 talked about, being unequally yoked or come out from among them. You know, maybe you're discipling somebody that's been attending another church. That's something to be seriously to consider. I'm going to change them from the inside out. Yeah, right. You know, it's sad. I'm you know, thankful for those that have grown up or maybe that were in a different church, saw the faults that were there, where they were definitely not teaching Bible, and they left. And were others that maybe we're talking with and maybe we're sharing scripture with and thinking, you know, where do you go to church? I know when we talk to somebody, they say, you know, I attend church. And the next words are, where do you attend? Because oftentimes it's going to maybe lead our conversation. Like, well, you know, I go to the Church of the Mormon. Okay, you know. Well, we'll avoid certain subjects if we want to keep being on friendly terms. Or maybe it's if they ask a question. That's the other thing. As Christians, Bible-believing Christians, we should be ready to give an answer when asked that question. And not to be afraid to answer the question, not to be afraid, well, of the repercussions. But the Apostle Paul is talking about fellowshipping with believers and his openness in this. In verses 11 and 12, he loved the Corinthian believers. Otherwise, he wouldn't have written these letters to them. You know, how many of us have corresponded with somebody that we know that was having issues maybe in their walk with the Lord? And, you know, the best thing we do is show love toward them and try to have the right scriptures to help them, not to beat them, but to share with them. You know, but he confronted them for the city they lived in. You know, paganism was all around there. And people were trying their best to undermine what the Christians were doing, and obviously having some success in drawing some of them away or letting them infiltrate. That's the other problem, is infiltration. Some folks come in and they've got some well-meaning, you know, I want to join your group, and they come in and immediately they want to start making changes, and that's dangerous. I mean, you know, when we've moved to a new duty station and went to visit a church, we didn't walk in there going, I'm a born-again Christian and you guys need to be doing da-da-da-da-da. No. That'd be there's the door, you can go find someplace else. You know, it's like, I know better than you. You go in and you find out what's there, because you might not agree with everything that was going on there, but you look and see, where do they line up with Scripture? That's what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell them that they need to be doing, is these pagans are not lining up with what the teachings of the gospel are. They're not lining up with the scriptures. And he, you know, when he preached the gospel to them and established that church there, he was witnessing and working to draw people, well, from that lifestyle and get them into church. And as each one of us, like, you know, when we do come to a new location, or, well, here's a question. Let's see who's brave enough. Describe from firsthand experience the bond of love that exists between a soul winner and someone he or she has led to the Lord. Anybody want to venture and tell about that? About maybe the when they led somebody to the Lord and that bond that's created there? Miss Patricia?
Yeah, I think about Chrissy. Years ago in Sunday school, in Vacation Bible School, I managed to enroll, and we have touched base a little bit in the years. Chrissy is now a teacher, and she's witnessing all the time to her students. Her brother contacted me just recently and told me that she's getting married, and she's just totally walking with the Lord.
Right. Well, this is a little girl that back in Connecticut, she was 10 years old. Her mother wasn't saved. Her father just recently gotten saved. Vacation Bible School. And during the time there, the 10 years we were there, they got to know each other, because she went off to school. But that lost touch in there. But to find that you've always got that bond with people that you led to the Lord, you know, and just It's like I want to see them again. If you haven't been with them, you know, it's well, you think of the Apostle Paul when he talked with Timothy. He called him his son. And especially if you get the opportunity to be with them and help disciple somebody. Anybody else got any kind of a... Lisa? Oh.
I remember years ago when I was in school up at Western in our class, we had a good opportunity to invite people to church because they had to go to an interpreted events every week.
Ah, perfect.
And so I would always say, we have deaf people. and it's interpreted. So we had a lot from my class, a lot of people from the school have come.
Sure.
And that one in particular was named Deanna. She was in my class, and it was an effort. The Lord used many of us in her life, but two of the other gals from that class brought her, and she sat there with her arms folded, facing the window with her side toward the pastor. She was very... She was there begrudgingly. She was only there for the interpreting. By the end of the sermon, she was in tears. Yes. And she received the Lord as Savior. And so he used the two friends. He used me, he used Pastor, but he used all of us together. But because she got saved here, I just found out at the conference I was at last week that apparently I've been wondering. I mean, our heart, we want to know. It was what you were saying. We want to know. How are they doing? Are they still walking in the Lord? Are they growing in grace? Are they growing in faith? And I found out that she has totally disconnected from the world.
Wow.
She's a stay-at-home mom, does all her own canning and homeschooling and all of that. And my guess is that she has grown in the Lord.
Amen.
Is what it seems like from the way the other interpreter spoke was that the contacts that she has, it seems like that is her testimony.
Amen. Yeah, and it's wonderful when you see that because, you know, you still have that bond of being there. Maybe you weren't the one that specifically prayed with them, but you had a hand in it, so you feel part of that. Lynn?
I was just going to say, as leading somebody to the Lord, I think you have a sense of responsibility to see that they grow.
Right.
And on the other hand, when you are the product of somebody else's witnessing to you, I think you forever have a bond of gratitude and love toward them.
So. Sure. Yeah, I know the husband and wife that were witnessing to my wife and myself, you know. We always wonder where they are because, you know, the military, a lot of times you separate. Some people completely stay disconnected from anything dealing with electronics. and you never know where they're at. But they come to remembrance. And it's so important, you know, that we, you know, just ask the Lord. And it's amazing. Periodically, they'll come back into your life somehow. It's just, you know, I can't explain it. It's just the Lord's hand in that. Anybody else got a thought with that? All right. Well, with Paul's openness here, he's talking about, he says he was yearning for the Corinthian Christians. A clear, you know, in his opening here, as his OE Corinthians, he wanted to get through to them. You know, it's like when you're giving a speech and it's a pleading speech, he says, our mouth is open unto you and our heart is enlarged. In other words, he wanted to make sure that there was nothing that he was holding back, that his heart, he loved them. And like it says in verse 13 that, you know, I speak as unto my children. And I can imagine pastor probably thinks a lot that way to some extent, even though a lot of us are a whole lot greater than he is. But really, when you think of that, of the nurturing that goes on with parents, with children, and the realization that, as Lynn pointed out, you feel a responsibility. You know, I know pastor gets up here, and when he's preaching, he wants to make sure that if he says something not right, and same with Brian and myself and anybody else that, that happens to teach, that check up on us to make sure that what we're saying is not leading you in something that's not right. Because I've been in churches where that's happened right from the pulpit, and it's seeing more and more of that, so then you know, oh, okay, maybe this is a clear time for me to move somewhere else. Because it's, we can be changes in some lives, but oftentimes it's a sign that we need to not be yoked in that way. And it's important. He was he wanted to make, get through to them and to break down any barriers that have been erected, because groups can come in and all of a sudden they do make create silos. They can pull groups off and get the click started, and it, that becomes very dangerous. I've been in churches where that was real evident the minute you walked in the door. And, you know, certain people sat with certain people, and certain people talked with only certain people, and, you know, they kind of give you the sideways glance as you walk by. You know, I'm thankful here when somebody comes to visit, we probably chase them out the door with friendliness. I wouldn't say that, you know. In reality, you know, people know that they have met with people that love the Lord, that are excited when somebody visits, and we want to know a little bit about them. Like, you know, where do you live? Where do you go to church? You know, what brought you here? And, you know, the, you know, what do you think you're doing here? You know, how dare you come into our church? You're not dressed the way we are. You're not carrying the same kind of Bible we are. No, we don't do that. You know, it's welcoming. And that's the wonderful thing about that. Our missionaries even talk about that, you know, of how friendly things are. And I think as Christians, that's what we should do. And when we do run into other Christians, all of a sudden we have that bond that that's like we've been long-lost friends, you know, that that we're not, you know, that, well, you know, we were separated at birth and now we're being reunited again, kind of a thing. And really, but we do have that common bond in the Lord. You know, and he wrote to them that... any of the barriers that they had, and that he was a, you know, he was their founding pastor, and he left those that he felt comfortable to continue teaching, but he wanted to make sure and write them openly and candidly, and that's probably the best thing as Christians can do. You know, if they know that there's something going on, and it's not right, it needs to be taken care of, because, well, we probably all know of churches that once stood for the gospel, but if you looked at their testimony now, it's very dangerous what has happened. A lot of people have gotten rid of, oh, they don't even teach out of the Bible. They don't use, well, they have their worship teams up front. All of a sudden, preaching is set aside and entertainment is taken over. A lot of them don't have Sunday schools. They don't have, you know, they're open on Sundays, maybe Sunday evenings. A lot of churches in this town, in the summertime, there's no Sunday school, there's no evening service, there's no Wednesday service. Well, everybody has to go on a vacation. Well, yeah, they can go on a vacation, but people still need to be fed. You know, thankfully, we've actually had people come in because they look for that evening service and they look for that Wednesday service. It's like, maybe you ought to come visit us. You know, not to proselytize them out, but, you know, we have what people that love the Lord, that are Bible believing, that's what they want, you know, what they want and what they want to learn. And so a question here, we read in verse 11, it says, ye are not, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged, ye are not straitened in us. So the question is how did Paul communicate his love for the Corinthian believers? And when he talked about straitened, he's talking about not restricted. That's the way the English derives it. I'm not an English teacher. I don't claim to be. I often think English is my second language. A hard time with the right punctuation. But how did Paul communicate his love for the Corinthian believers? Anybody? Pastor?
He basically said that they were foremost in his heart.
So. Exactly. Foremost in his heart. And that's how each one of us should be with other believers. You know, when we go in, you know, like this church here, pastor, we are foremost in his heart. A lot of us even look at that we're probably closer knit than a lot of our own family members in a lot of ways. So he, them being foremost, he wanted to make sure that there was no restrictions on what he was telling them and what he wrote. And he said, our heart is enlarged, his heart's wide open to the Corinthians. And he didn't want to, as my note says there, moreover, he did not hedge them in. He did not want to constrain them. And that's one thing about a church group or as a family, they don't want to be constrained. They wanted an openness in relationship and realize that it was two-sided. So that not only was he making sure that he loved them, he wanted them to understand that the love was reciprocal. Not that he demanded it, just like God doesn't demand it. He tells us to follow his commandments, but it tells us that, you know, he loved us, or we loved him because he first loved us. But he doesn't demand our love. It's expected because of what he's done for us, and it makes it so important. This, you know, the Apostle Paul's not placing him in the position of Christ, but he was teaching them from the Scripture. He was teaching them what Christ had taught him to spend that love with him, and so he's pointing out that it's two-sided. And if, you know, when you think of it, if one side is very open in their love toward them and the other isn't, what do you have? You don't have any real communication. You know, you have one group that's always taking in but never giving out. And a lot of times that's what happens in some churches. There's always give, or take. You know, people that are giving and taking, but the ones that are taking, maybe not, are always giving back. And that's dangerous. And that's what the Apostle Paul was concerned about there. He wanted them to know that, no, because he's at other churches, that they were still foremost on his heart. And it's important when you think about that. You know, we think of missionaries that come to visit and, you know, yeah, we're sending a support check to them, so we expect a certain amount of things from them. But in reality, you know, they love each and every person equally. It's difficult, and, you know, there, you know, it's like, okay, well, this church gives a whole lot more than this church, so I'm going to be really, really nice to them. And, you know, no. And I think if we sat down and talked with every one of our missionaries, their desire would be to, every time they come home, to make sure that they hit that church, all of those churches the same, you know, and they don't, they expect, you know, well, we get a reciprocal between them. There's communication. And oftentimes, you know, some missionaries, they send letters home, and I think Pastor even mentioned it one time about missionary letters that come to the church. Oftentimes, they don't get communication back. So that, you know, and that's important. You know, they know when people are praying for them, because I know every one of us realizes and feels that power of the Holy Spirit, that we're being told, hey, somebody really praying for you. You need to pay attention. So it's so very important for us to realize that it's a two-way street, that we, and relationships actually grow that much more. You know, we look at the missionaries that we communicate with, the pastor reads the letters from, and the ones that we get letters from regularly, there is a two-way communication a lot of times. There's some of them that maybe they're not as good about writing letters as others, But there's different ways of communicating with them, and it's very, very important. And then, secondly, we have Paul's plea in verses 12 and 13. He said, he put his finger on their communication problem. In verse 12, he says, "Ye are straitened in your own bowels." That is, the Corinthians were restricting themselves from the Apostle Paul, and it was kind of evident. So that's why he wrote the letter. You know, he loved the Corinthians, but they were withholding his love from them. Not every one of them, because there were some that did. Well, they came to him and says, "Paul, we have problems, and this is what we see. And we know you love us. We know that you are. You know, can you help us?" And so he knew that there were some that were indeed showing love, but there was a few that weren't. So one of the questions is, how did Paul want the Corinthian believers to respond to his affection for them? With love, yes. With love. To be open about that. To you know, and it's, you know, here we do have that openness. You know, had the privilege to go fishing with Pastor and Brian yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. You know, laughing with some stuff and like, "Oh man." In fact, I caught what I thought was a pretty good fish because the line kept moving. Well, the boat was moving, and it was a big old log that I was hoping I'd maybe bring it up, you know. And it took a while to break the line, but you know, but it's nice that we can joke with each other. We can share our concerns with each other, and we do it openly. And I don't think we have any closed communication, you know, and that's so very important amongst Christians. And Paul was challenging them to reciprocate and to open their hearts with him. You know, like you said, a few of them made it known that they had concerns. There were others that the Apostle Paul was challenging. And so another question is, what strengthens the bonds amongst Christians or amongst believers today? I see smiles.
Like faith and love.
Like faith and love, yes. Serving one another. You know, I mean, you know, again, you know, we look back at where each person here is participating in some portion of this ministry. We're serving each other, you know, and I know we do it out of love. We're, you know, Wednesdays we pray together, but there are other times when people get together outside of church and pray together. I think of the women's prayer meeting that they have. We think of others that meet at somebody's home, and they have a time of prayer. Or they talk about the concerns that are going on. They share back and forth. And, you know, they just want to show love. So on the other hand, what causes believers in a church to drift apart? P word. Yeah. You know, it's amazing. You know, like she said, the P word, pride. But, you know, gossip, we don't have that here. You know, I always enjoy when somebody goes, you know, "I don't want to gossip about this, but this is really true. I know it's a fact. So what?" "Do you really need to talk about it?" My wife's really good about that. She's got a good filter up. She goes, "I don't want to hear about it." You know, a lot of us internally go, "La, la, 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 la." But, you know, sometimes there might be an unforgiving spirit. Bitterness, isolation, superficially. Now, honestly, those ones that I met, I don't think we've ever seen that. But I've been in churches where those are prevalent. It's real obvious. If there's a tiff between a couple of people, you know it. They may have been friends, and all of a sudden, they were the best. Ooh. You know, something's happened. They won't sit together. They'll walk by, and it's, you know, immediately they didn't want to be anywhere near each other. So it's very dangerous, you know, and it's very sad when that happens, because when visitors come, it kind of ruins the testimony. You know, some people go, oh, that's going on here. I'm not going to come back and visit. But then again, when they see that love, they're more than likely to come back to visit. I think of folks that, you know, like the couple that live in California that come up here that are thinking of retiring. They've, what, 4 or 5 times they've been here? Maybe 3 or 4 times? You know, it's as if they've never left when they come back. They enjoy the fellowship here, and they're earnestly looking, you know, whether they want to fully retire or whatever. But, you know, they're like, I like what you teach. I feel comfortable here, you know, and that's the real joy when we think about that. But it's sad, though, when people lose sight of the importance of fellowshipping and serving the Lord. And that's so important. And if that's what we do, when we're serving each other, we're serving the Lord. And doing what needs to be done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your loving kindness. We thank you that you do encourage and cultivate a loving spirit amongst these people. Father, I pray that you would just have your will and your way, show us where we might be in error. But Father, I do pray that you would be glorified in all that's done, all that's said, and the actions that are here, and that would be our goal in our everyday life, is that we would glorify you and be excited about being in fellowship with you on a regular basis. Father, I thank you now for these lessons. Thank you for each one that's here, and I do pray you take us in the morning service, and we do ask it for your son's sake. Amen.